A good friend told me a story one day. He was coming out of church with another friend, and it was a glorious Easter Sunday, much like today. And the preacher was standing at the door, as he always does, to shake the hands of those that had been at church. He grabbed my friend's friend by the hand and pulled him aside. And the pastor said, "You need to join the army of the Lord." My friend's friend said, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." The pastor questioned, "Well, how come I don't see you except Christmas and Easter?" And my friend's friend whispered back, "I'm in the secret service." Now, Episcopalians have long had a strong branch into what we call the priester category. Those who prefer the two high holy days of Christmas and Easter to worship. And I don't blame anybody, because those are two incredible days to worship. And so today, if this is the first time that you've come to St. Mark's, or the 1,250th time that you've been here, we're just so glad you're here on this Easter Sunday. We're just so happy that you're here to worship with us. Because God doesn't care one iota about your church attendance. I'll assure you of that. He just cares about you. And he's just glad that we're all here together to sing these glorious hymns, surrounded by this beautiful sanctuary, adorning this incredible cross with our little buddies. And the reason that God is so glad is that the Easter message is for us. It's for each one of us. It's for us in our lived lives right now. So then, Pastor, what is the Easter message? Well, there's an illustration to help us sort of think about this. A few weeks ago, Ashley and I and some friends saw A.J. Croce at the Jefferson Center. A.J. is the son of Jim Croce. And Jim Croce, for those that can't remember back, late 60s, early 70s, singer, songwriter, bad Leroy Brown and the Baddest Man in Town was a hit. Operator, that beautiful song, I Got an Ace is another one. And at the end of this magnificent and sublime performance by AJ, a video appeared high above the stage in the Jefferson Center. And it was a video of Jim Croce, his wife Ingrid, and his almost two-year-old son, AJ. And they were playing on their farm in Pennsylvania. And just sort of picture of a pastoral image of family in that early years of childhood, where they're tickling his belly and rolling in the fields and laughing, and love is just bubbling out of nowhere. And in piped Jim's melodious sound with the hit "Time in a Bottle." And these verses: "If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you." As this first verse came to a close, and AJ entered the stage and began to sing a duet with his now deceased father, Jim. See, Jim died only a few weeks after this video was made. And that song was written after the birth of his son, AJ. Needless to say, there wasn't a dry eye at the Jefferson Center. And embedded in this experience is the longing to spend every day with those that we love. To share in the blissfulness of life, to share in joy with one another, to share with joy in the face of a dark and cruel world. And that's our constant tension as humans, isn't it? Is that we live in this world that has so much beauty and so much pain. How do we cling, in other words, to love in the face of hatred? Darkness and disease and death. How do we surround ourselves with joy when life seems to always throw a pall over our experiences? Where then, in other words, is our hope? Now, this isn't just our question for this Easter Sunday, but it's the question of humanity. Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, when God's outstretched hand, so beautifully depicted by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel painting, his outstretched finger touched humanity, created Adam and Eve. Adam, after all, comes from the Hebrew word Adamah, which means simply dust. Humanity, of dust were all created. Now, these two, Adam and Eve, were the gardeners in charge of this beautiful, bucolic landscape, this Garden of Eden. They didn't even need clothes. It was so wonderful.
Supposed to be funny.
But anyway, it is this sort of perfection. It is this sort of perfection that's captured in that video of A.J. Kroeke with his father, Jim, and his mom, Ingrid. But we know that in the perfection of the garden, there entered that pesky little snake, a.k.a. sin and death, entered into the picture. Now, we know this tune. It might be different lyrics for you and me, but we know that sin, that death, that evil enters into our lives, most often at inopportune times. I remember telling my therapist in January that things are going really great in my life. It was almost like we were on a, if you're a sailor, we were on a downwind tack. Sails are out. The boat's not heeling in any direction, and you're just sort of playing. Well, in the back of my mind, I knew that the wind would change, and the boat would go over on its side. Sure enough, by February, I'm like, can I get another hour with you? And I won't go into any more detail about that, but that's just, we know, as the prayer book says, the sundry and manifold changes of this life. We know this. We know that our life changes with one phone call, with one diagnosis, with one remembrance of some long ago mistaken moment, the searing void of a mistake we can't get out of, or a broken relationship that continues to surface over and over and over again. We know, in other words, the mercurial nature of life. And so too does Mary Magdalene in our story today. She's front and center in this gospel story. Mary Magdalene was an early follower of Jesus, more than likely healed of some trauma by our Lord. So in other words, she's a sufferer who clings to Jesus' grace and love. And she loved him. She doted on him. And now she's going to pay homage and anoint her fallen teacher. When was the last time you visited a grave or a marker of a loved one? Maybe the wound was really fresh. Maybe it was really old. No matter what, your feelings were palpable in that moment. They were real. Mary Magdalene was there with that real, dull, and hollow pain that only death and grief can bring about. Now, we know this pain. It's almost akin to wind shear, right? Wind shear, which is just a meteorological phenomenon where almost a microburst happens out of the sky and the wind goes from, you know, 10 or 20 miles an hour to 40 or 50 miles an hour in a blink of an eye. It's brought down airplanes before. And it comes straight down. And then when it comes straight down, it goes like this and it clears the deck. The wind hits the ground so hard that it clears the deck. And death comes into our lives like that, where it comes down and cripples and wrecks us across the plain. And so imagine Mary then not finding Jesus. And she's already in this state of grief. She must have just been totally distraught. And then she's approached by a gardener. By a gardener. Just another human, another gardener, who said, "Why are you so sad? What's going on," in other words, "in your life?" Imagine Mary's response. Imagine your own response. She must just want to see Jesus, even that dead lifeless body one more time. So she says, where is he? And in the ultimate plot twist of all time, the gardener looks at Mary and says, Mary. Says Mary. Mary meets not just any gardener, the gardener of Easter Sunday. And his name is Jesus. And he is, and the name of his game is vanquishing sin and death. So here is the message of this Easter and every Easter, that Jesus is the new gardener. The Rising is a song that's written by Bruce Springsteen after 9/11. It's an incredibly powerful song. 9/11 was most certainly a collective Good Friday for everybody. And in the face of this tragedy, Springsteen writes this verse. I see you, Mary, in the garden. In the garden of a thousand sighs. There's a holy picture of our children dancing in the sky filled with light. May I feel your arms around me. May I feel your blood mixed with mine. A dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of a line. Springsteen's image of a catfish dancing on the end of a line is pure joy, isn't it? Don't think about the hook in his mouth. Think about that feeling of being free above the water, dancing and loving life. So we go back to, what is the Easter message? The Easter message and the good news for you and me is that we're all catfishes. We've all been captured by Jesus Christ. We've all been saved, and we will all be resurrected. We are all free to dance at the end of our line. Wherever you are today, what that means for you is that if you feel Jesus or if you don't, Jesus knows your name. And he's coming for you with love and grace and mercy. In the same way he came for Mary in that garden, he's coming for each of us. Until that one day when with Mary and all the saints, we dance forever in our heavenly host. Happy Easter. Amen. Amen.